Before Scott Simon left town to accept his honorary degree at Lake Forest College, he dropped off this installment of NPR's in-character series, Good Old Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown is the kid who always misses the football because Lucy snatches it away just before he can kick it. The kid who's left out on the pitcher's mound in the rain. The kid whose kite gets snarled in a tree. The kid who leaps into a pile of leaves and hits a rock. He has a hopeless crush.
Dear little red-haired girl, how I've longed to meet you. Oh!
Which, like some embarrassing bruise, he mistakenly reveals to his friends. Judith Viorst, who writes books for adults and children and studies psychoanalysis, says of Charlie Brown,
I like him enormously, and I think the whole world likes him.
Good grief, Charlie Brown, you're ridiculous!
Boy, were you dumb in school today.
It's your own fault, because you're so wishy-washy.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown, completely hopeless.
Just nobody in his comic strip likes him.
Charlie Brown, whom his own dog calls that round-headed kid, came into the world in October of 1950, drawn by Charles Schulz, who named him after one of his art instructors in Minneapolis. By the time Charles Schulz died in 2000, Charlie Brown and his friends in the comic strip Peanuts appeared in almost 3,000 newspapers in 75 different countries. They starred in top-rated television specials, books, and a musical. Their images may have appeared on more things, T-shirts, greeting cards, party wear, calendars, and balloons in the last half of the 20th century than Mao Zedong's. Lynn Johnston, who draws the strip for better or for worse, says of Charlie's image,
it's like an emblem or as memorable as the Coke sign or the Nike swipe or anything else. You see that Charlie Brown, and that just says it all. It really does. That expression, that simple line, and just that wonderful look.
The Apollo 10 astronauts even named their command module Charlie Brown, and the lunar rover Snoopy. It may be telling that Charlie got to orbit the moon, but Snoopy landed there, while Charlie just circled in darkness.
Oh, good grief.
Anthony Rapp, who played Charlie in the 1999 revival of the musical You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, observes,
you think of him as sort of a sad sack, but he's also incredibly resilient, and that's a thing that I discovered in playing him.
I like you, Charlie Brown. Signed, Little Red-Haired Girl. Boy! Just wait till September, boy, just wait!
I moved around a lot as a child, saying goodbye to old friends, trying to fit in with new ones. But Charlie Brown and his friends could always be found along the wall, on the ball field, or in front of Snoopy's doghouse. He seemed to be the soul of can-do Kennedy-era optimism, but nagged by anxieties that would bring him to Lucy's backyard therapy stand. Did his dog really like him, or just the food he brought? Would the stars stay up in the sky? And what made him just a little different?
Maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything.
That's it!
Lynn Johnston became a friend of Charles Schulz's, but she grew up knowing Charlie Brown in Northern Ontario.
When you're young, you have incredibly strong emotions and really profound thoughts, but you just don't have the vocabulary or the experience to know how to voice those opinions. And so when somebody in such a wonderful medium as a comic strip could give us a voice, that was impressive.
Over the years, Charles Schulz occasionally estimated that Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, and Schroeder all seemed to be suspended at about 8 years of age. Judith Viorst reminds us that's an unkind age for children.
They seem to have these cruel measures of success, which poor Charlie is not very good at. I think they would admire him if his team ever won a ball game, if he ever succeeded in flying a kite. I think basically he is perceived by these otherwise decent kids, but pretty harsh in their judgment of him, as he's perceived as a loser, as a failure in the world of kiddom.
So we asked three residents of Kiddom, Ian Green, Andrew Simmons, and Maribel Allen, all from Los Angeles and all 11 years of age, to talk about the Charlie Brown that they've grown up with. Mr. Green goes first.
He's cool in his own way. He's not one of those kids that thinks, oh, you know what, I'm going to wear these awesome sunglasses, my awesome gangster leather jacket, you know? I'm so cool. He's his own person. He's his own character in his own mind, and he's very creative.
He's in his own box. If you could picture that.
You know, I think political consultants would call that authenticity.
Charlie Brown does things different.
Yet it's an old childhood story. The nicer Charlie Brown is, the more it seems to irritate people, who mock him as wishy-washy. When Anthony Rapp played Charlie Brown on Broadway, he got to sing along with what amounts to Charlie's credo.
Happiness is two kinds of ice cream.
Knowing a secret.
Climbing a tree.
Happiness is five different crayons.
Catching a firefly, setting him free.
A lot of critics found the song a little wishy-washy. 10 years later, Mr. Rapp still ruminates about the boy he played.
I don't know that he'll ever really be able to fully find happiness because, well, it would be interesting to see as he grows up whether he'd be able to continue to weather those storms over and over and over again, or if they would in fact make all of the sort of hope leak out of him.
This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon! Ah!
But what use is hope if there's never any reward? For 50 years, Lucy held out the football for Charlie Brown. For 50 years, he ran at it, only to have her snatch it away and make him fall on his back. In a world that says, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, what do you say after being fooled for 50 years? Is Charlie Brown a good man who trusts others, or a fool who deceives himself? Lynn Johnston says she didn't find Charlie's unflagging faith in Lucy to be endearing.
I always kind of thought that he should probably tell her off.
But Judith Fiorst and Anthony Rapp think that would be a false note for Charlie Brown.
You're asking him to be a far more cynical person than he will ever be in his life. I mean, he is your absolute model of hope springs eternal. Lucy always assures him that it's going to be different this year, and he figures, why not believe her?
And now, you could argue that that's just foolishness, but I argue that it's actually optimism. And a certain kind of optimism, like continuing to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, believing in the better nature of people.
We asked our panel of childhood experts on Charlie Brown. Is there something that you'd like to tell him? I mean, if you could reach into that cartoon panel.
I would say, you ought to know that you're in a comic book for the past 50 years. And I would ought to say, don't listen to other people. Be yourself.
I would say, don't always be so angry at yourself. You know, if you do one thing wrong, doesn't mean that you have to get all mad and say, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that?
Charlie Brown can't leap tall buildings in a single bound. He can't even get his kite out of a tree. He isn't a cartoon character who bristles with superpowers. But he may be something more extraordinary among children, not to mention adults, as we all grow up and struggle to get noticed, be pretty, funny, or popular, and win candy, stars, ribbons, grades, friends, lovers, money, or toys. Ian Green says,
Charlie Brown is like, you know, oh, Captain America, he saved the people from the burning building. Charlie Brown became this famous and this special from just being himself. He doesn't have to be a superhero. That's what makes him a famous comic book character.
Despite all temptation and frustration, his bruised heart and backside, Charlie Brown is nice. And do we tell ourselves often enough? Do we tell our children how important that really is?
For happiness is anyone and anything. That's loved by you.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Scott Simon, NPR News.
This is Weekend Edition, directed by Elaine Heintzman, and produced by Darcy Bacon, Justine Kennan, Bridget McCarthy, Janaea Williams, MJ Davis, Elliot Hannon, Zoe Chase, and Sarah Beyer Kelly. Our technical director is Burke Hun, so ably assisted by Lamar Nickens, Marty Curcius, and Handy Andy Rosenberg. Librarians are Key Molesky, Mary Glenn Denning, and Robert Goldstein. The senior editor is Tony Marcano. And the senior producer of Weekend Edition Saturday is Peter Breslow. Dr. Simon returns next week. I'm John Itstein.